is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Then whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, the sky is beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is great to be with you again here from Austin, Texas, Bible Home Church. You know, it's so fascinating how Jesus told us to go forth and preach the gospel to the whole world and teach all nations. And I believe we're going to bring many people into the kingdom even through Bible Home Church. How do we do it? Through your help. That's right. Without your help, we couldn't keep this going. And I appreciate so much your love gifts, your prayers for the ministry, and your letters of encouragement. I want to ask you to keep those letters coming and the help coming as you can do so. And as you know, if you have a prayer need, we're always willing to listen to that, and we will pray for you. It'd be a delight for me to pray for you personally. Now, on the other hand, you know, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof, and I am convinced he told the truth. And he meant it. And so, even if you're sitting in your family room or your living room or you're laying on your bed or your couch because you're ill today, you're sick, and you couldn't get up and go to a church, that's all right, because we have Bible Home Church right here on the radio, and you can be a member of Bible Home Church just by writing us, letting us know you'd like to associate and become a member of Bible Home Church. Now, if you want to become a member, you will have to let us know that you have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. In your own words, tell us that. Tex, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord, and we'll be glad to have you as a member by your confession of faith. If you're already a member of a local church, but you'd still like to associate with us, we have associate membership. Be glad to have you there, too. So every week during this time, this 30 minutes, we're going to have a continuing series. Sometimes we have an entire sermon and service, but other times we have a series. Right now we have what I think is a fascinating series. Gets to the Bible and to the numbers in the Bible. That's right. Biblical numbers. Biblical math. There's occult numerology. And then there's God's numbers. Isn't that interesting? You know, the devil always counterfeits everything of God. In fact, even God pinned the old number 666 on the donkey. You know, pinning the tail on the donkey. Well, he pinned the number on the Antichrist, didn't he? Oh, God knows how to do things right. You want to use numerology? Okay, I'll give you a number, God says. Well, this shows how God can confound those who think they're wise, but they're wise in their own conceit, of whom Satan was one. And he's seduced so many others into believing like he does. And if you continue along that path, my friends, you will go into utter damnation. And if that sounds like hellfire and brimstone preaching, well, you better tune radio out then, because every once in a while you're going to get that here. But if you like to hear good preaching, because we always go to the Word of God, well, stay tuned. And you'll hear about God's holy numbers. Some amazing mathematical things that I think you'll be excited about. But first, we have a song here. It's a relatively new song. It's I don't want to call it jazzy, but it's got a little rhythm to it. You know, we don't use much rhythm here. I guess I'm just, I'm old-fashioned. Don't write many letters complaining, but I am old-fashioned. I like the soft, beautiful music. I just, that's the kind I like. I love old hymns. I love truly gospel songs. You know, I like a song that makes you cry. How about you? I'd like to hear from y'all than that. Maybe I'm all right. Tell me where I'm wrong. Should I bring in this rock music? Little reggae music? Little Jamaican beat? Is that what you want to hear? Well, too bad. I'm not going to give you that. But you know what? I don't think that true people of God want that at church time. I think they want to hear something that's uplifting, something that even the angels might sing in heaven. Well, here's a song called Through It All. And you know, through it all, whatever your circumstances, my friends, God is right there with you. Sometimes you don't realize it. You think you're all alone, don't you? But you're not. God is with you. Through it all, and then we're going to continue on our series of the amazing numbers in the Bible.
I've been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces, but there have been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own.
Sing it.
Through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God.
Thank God for the mountains. Thank God for the valley. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. You see, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve it. Never know what faith in His way.
Mathematics. It's amazing, the power of numbers. You know, my good friend Dr. Ed Vallot, an evangelist, many years ago he wrote this tremendous classic book entitled Biblical Mathematics. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Vallot and discussing in depth with him the power of numbers, and we also talked about some other things, about what happens when you die. And he told me, I hope I have time to tell you sometime an amazing story, something that happened to him. Well, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and tell you today. The Holy Spirit is leading me to do that. You see, Brother Vallot
was raised Catholic. He's French from Louisiana. And they didn't teach in the Catholic Church the Bible was very important, and they certainly didn't teach that you needed to be born again. Well, praise God, somebody witnessed to him, and he accepted Jesus. But his entire family, not all of them did. But his mother became a Christian, a born-again Christian. Ed told me that he went to the hospital when she died. And before she died, she was laying in the bed, and they called all the family around, and Ed was there, and his brothers were there, and other family members. And as they were in that hospital room, Ed's mother was nearing death. She was laying there quietly. They had been praying for her, at least Ed and a sister who were Christians. And suddenly, she put up her right hand and she said, "The devil is in this room. The devil is in this room." And Ed said a miracle happened. Because at that very moment, in this room, I suppose with fluorescent lights, Ed didn't tell me what kind, a shadow came into that room. Darkness literally came into that hospital room. When his mother on her deathbed exclaimed, "The devil is here." And then a smile came across her face and she said, "But Jesus is here too. And he's come for me." And I'm telling you, friends, that shadow departed and the light came back on brighter than ever in that room. "Jesus is here too," she said, "and he's come for me." Well, the family was absolutely flabbergasted and shocked. And Ed's brother, not being a Christian, was frightened. And he grabbed Ed Velo by the arm and he pulled him out into the hall. And he said, "Ed, did you see that? Did you see when that shadow came in and the room darkened? Did you see what happened?" And Ed says, "Yes, I saw that." He says, "Ed, do you think that really was the devil?" And Ed says, "Yes, it was the devil. You see, the devil came for Mom. But God's not going to let the devil have Mom because she knows Jesus. And Jesus cast out the devil. He said, 'You don't have any right to this woman. She's mine.'" And Ed looked at his brother right in the eye. And he said, "The devil came for Mother. And someday, he's going to come for you." And I'm telling you, my friend, there was a fright in Ed Velo's brother's eyes. He knew the truth of that. Well, I pray that Ed's brother has come to know Jesus today. My friends, the truth about the matter is, someday we're all going to die. You may think you're immortal, but you're not, and I'm not. The Bible says, and this is biblical too, what happened. You'll remember, we read in the New Testament, there in Jude, the devil came and claimed, tried to claim Moses' body. And the archangel Michael disputed with him. And he said to the devil, "The Lord rebuke you." And the devil, I'm sure, left post haste. I mean, he must have went pretty quickly when Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." You see, he said, "Well, Moses, look at all the bad things he's done." I'm sure the devil was saying that. He wasn't perfect. But I suspect that the devil knew it didn't matter whether he was perfect or not. He believed in Jesus Christ as Lord. And that covers up a multitude of sins, the Bible says. Thinking about the number 7. We mentioned Abraham's sevenfold blessing. There's so much to the number 7. Did you know that there are 7 psalms ascribed to David in the New Testament? 7 times were the psalms of David are referenced in the New Testament. So much in the number 7. I wish we could stay on that. We could do a whole program just on the number 7. Let's talk about some other numbers, though. How about the number 2? You know, the number two is interesting because there's really two sides or perspectives on the number two. Some people say, well, the number two means witness. You know, they like to have one word. You know, the number five means grace. The number seven is perfection, etc. So they bring you just one word. But, oh, I think God has multiple meanings to words and to numbers sometimes. Now consider the number two. You know, if the two are not united together, there can be a great problem. Remember, at the first of this program, I said you either belong to God or you're of Satan. A lot of people don't understand that. They say, but I'm a good person. It's true. I'm not born again, but I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. I take care of my kids. I don't lie too much. I cheat every once in a while, but not that much. Basically, I'm a good person. Won't I go to heaven? Well, the Bible says you're born into this world belonging to Satan. He is God of this world. He is your God. Small g. But, if you give your life to Jesus as Lord, suddenly something happens. You belong to a new race. A peculiar, strange race. You're not even a citizen of this earth. You're translated into heavenly places through Christ. You become part of His body. And you have no relationship to that other race that you used to be a member of, but no longer. Two. So two can be divided or they can be united. Now let's look at some historical cases of two in the Bible. There's Abraham and Lot. Now there's a pair for you. You know, the problem with Lot is that, well, he didn't always depend on God. He was sort of pro-choice. Did you know he was pro-choice? Well, he was. You know, when they were separated, they were going to separate. Abram said, well, Lot, I'll let you choose what land you want. And Lot looked out there and he said, wow, the plain of Jordan and its cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it looks to me like the garden of the Lord. That's the problem. It looked to him like the garden of the Lord, Sodom and Gomorrah, but it wasn't. And there's where he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He dwelt in Sodom. He sat in the gate of Sodom. He participated at Sodom. But of course, he was still a godly man, but the fact is, he chose Sodom. Now, Abram, on the other hand, had his portion with God. He walked by faith. He pitched his tent only where he could build his altar. He held communion with God, who was his shield. Though he was a stranger on earth, he was the friend of God. There was a difference in the two. And you know what? Now, you wives out there, listen to me. There was a difference in the two wives. Sarah was a type of the heavenly Jerusalem. Sarah was Abraham's wife. She was a type of the heavenly Jerusalem, faithful to God, trusting in God. But Lot's wife, she became a pillar of salt, which is a memorial for all of us to understand if we look back into the vomit of what we were, what can happen. Well, so you see that even as two Christians, one, because they have faith in God, goes on to greater things, where another who looks back to the world, sees the beauty of the world, well, they're deceived. Then we have the two that are the pair, Isaac and Ishmael. Same situation, don't we? Isaac and Ishmael. How about Jacob and Esau? There's a pair for you. Totally different, weren't they? But they were the same. Blood, but wait. On the other hand, there are the two witnesses of Revelation that will go to Jerusalem in the last days and be slain together, killed for the witness of the Lord. The two witnesses, they're united. United. Christ said of the husband and wife, they should also be united. They cleave together. They become as one. Now, my friends, this is really the pattern that God has for you and me. When we accept Jesus and He comes to live and abide in us, we are to be one with Him. And Jesus set the pattern because He said, I and the Father are one. He's one with the Father. And this is really what Paul, I believe, meant when he said that he pressed on toward the mark of his calling, which is to be in the pattern of God, to be perfect as God is perfect. And this is what we're to do, to struggle with this in this flesh until we're redeemed by God and receive our immortal bodies. Well, we move from 2 to number 3. Number 3. You know, 3 can be a powerful number. It's the number that I have found in the occult world seems to be counterfeited the most. The unholy trinity, for example, that my wife Wanda talked about in her book, New Age Lies to Women. There is an unholy 3. But then there is that great holy 3. Here again we have the two divisions. We have the truth and we have the counterfeit. You know, 3 times you'll find a blessing. It's really a threefold blessing in Numbers chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And then number 3, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. 3 times the blessing. John 1, we find something interesting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here we see 3 affirmations, 3 critical witnessing statements of the deity of Jesus. The deity, by the way, that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and a host of other cults and false religions deny. In the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, the New World Translation, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Oh, they add that little bitty word that changes everything. The Word was a God, but the King James says the Word was God. John 1. You know, Abraham certainly recognized Jesus Christ. He recognized that He was with God from the beginning. If you don't believe it, just turn to Genesis 18, chapter 2. Abraham said, he looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. 3 men. But wait, verse 1 declares that it was Jehovah that appeared unto him. Well, how can God be 3? Whoa. Well, isn't He 1? Well, yes, because it makes plain that it was Jehovah, it was God. Isn't it fascinating that Abraham addresses them both as 1 and as 3? We read first, they said, and then later, he said. They? He? How can that be according to our human way of thinking? Well, the whole thing begins, you know, with the appearance of the Lord to Abraham. And it ends with the Lord went His way. 3 men, but 1. How can that be? Well, you know, there are 3 persons in the Godhead. Well, I don't really, again, like the words persons. I think 3 aspects, 3 perspectives of God. I don't know what you'd want to call it. I think our human language is just too poverty-stricken and poor to even describe God. It really is. We don't know what He looks like. We can't understand totally His majesty. But think about these 3 aspects. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 talks about the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 talks about the fullness of Christ. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 mentions the fullness of the Godhead. God, Christ, Godhead. Well, we also find that when Abraham had his heavenly guest, he brought forth, quote, 3 measures of meal. They fed God 3 meals. Can you imagine?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning Victory.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.